The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your favorite show about the paranormal. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Sean.
Hello.
Tonight we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do Thunderdome.
Thunderdome.
Two men enter, one man leave. Sean and I are going to fight it out on the radio so you can hear it.
So, I mean, a little warning would have been nice. I would have brought, you know, some power tools, some armor.
They'll be hanging from the ceiling.
Okay, good. Good, good. This is a small booth. Like, I don't know if you've... I don't know. Maybe you factored that in.
I figure even with the elastic lederhosen or whatever it is they were rocking in that movie, I could probably, at best, get about a foot off the ground. So, this room is just fine.
Fair enough.
So, how's your week been, Sean?
Pretty good. You know, it's weird. I think doing this show is... has been eroding, like, my natural skepticism a little. And, you know, when we started, I would kind of joke to my friends and stuff that it was nice to do a show like this so that I wasn't the craziest person in the room, because I would be out crazied by our guests. But I feel like with every guest we have, a little bit of their crazy, like, flakes off and enters my system. And
so it doesn't seem so crazy after
all. Exactly. Well, I was just having a conversation with a friend earlier, and they, you know, they mentioned something about Roswell, and like they were being tongue-in-cheek about it. And I was like, Oh, yeah, I know all about that. And I was just telling them some stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, there was wreckage they never found? And I was like, I was like, oh, dear God, what have I become?
That's the end of your social life.
Yeah, I just had that realization the other day. I was like, oh, my God.
Needless to say, this was at work, and you've now been fired from your day job.
Yes, so I'm already foraging and cooking raccoons for my sustenance. Because
my flavorful apocalypse is coming on pretty well. I've already made pesto out of my garden. And
nice.
Mint rice.
Mint rice, okay. Yeah, so you're set.
I am set, yeah.
You've got all the pesto you need to,
yeah,
to survive any number of
basically, now
disasters.
If I can just learn how to, you know, kill an animal in the wild, I can flavor it and we can eat it. We're
right.
Good. You know, that's not really hugely different than the diet that I'm rocking at home already.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like...
Right.
A lot of peppers, a lot of spices, a lot of meat.
Yeah, well, frankly, animals are fast.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're worried about the Thunderdome concept,
yeah.
I would be much easier to kill than, like, a deer.
Well, yeah. So all I need is a lot of spices, some peppers, and Sean's corpse.
There's only one of me.
Yeah, well.
As far as I know.
Others like you.
Oh, God. Yeah, so maybe start your whole thing a few weeks before the apocalypse actually starts so you can get a jump on it.
I did take one of those tests online. You know, for you guys listening, next week we have a zombie survivalist on.
And I'm so excited.
And that's one reason why we're definitely talking about this is that. But I took a test online and it said I'd survive like 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know. How does it... Is it, like, exponential? Does it go on, like, a scale from a couple of minutes to, like, you know, weeks or years if you answer the right way?
I don't know. I think that means that as soon as my neighbors found out about it, they'd come over and kill me.
Right.
It'd take them, like, 5 minutes to, you know, get out there.
That guy's got pesto.
Right.
This cannot stand.
And it normally takes 2 or 3 minutes for me to answer the door, so, you know.
You know, in that situation, I don't know if they just ring the doorbell and wait.
I think if they caught it right at the beginning, yeah, sure.
Yeah, they might, okay.
Yeah. There's your horror movie. You know, that's pretty good.
This summer, the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah. There's actually a great apocalyptic horror movie. It's a nuclear war one called Miracle Mile.
Mm.
Have you ever seen this?
No.
Basically, this guy goes to meet this girl that he really likes, and his alarm messes up, and he ends up at the diner at like 3 in the morning. And the payphone rings, and he answers it, and it's some guy thinking that he's calling his dad, telling him that all the missiles have been fired, and then we got 2 hours until we all die. And then he hears a bunch of gunshots as the guy gets killed. And then it takes it from there, basically, that he's the one guy who knows
that, like
that. The world's going
to
end.
I'll have to see this.
Yeah, it's really, really good. really good. So tonight we are revisiting a topic that...
Yeah,
you know,
it's kind of been looming on the horizon for a lot of us.
Well, it has, and there are a lot of different takes on this topic. The topic that we're going to discuss tonight is Nibiru.
So looming on the horizon was a joke. I was,
it really might be looming on the horizon.
Right, yes.
Yeah, that's, I
had to call attention to that.
I didn't see what you did there.
Thank you. Now you do. We may continue.
So there's a lot of different takes on this topic. You know, the two, like, there's two, like, structural takes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is Nibiru a planet?
Sure.
Or is it a star? Or is it one planet in a solar system?
Right.
You know, and there are a lot of takes out there, and there are a lot of people who are going to, you know, different views. Well, I mean, wasn't David Mead?
Yes, David Mead was a Nibiru guy,
right.
One of many. I don't think he and Samuel Hoffman would probably see eye to eye on
those
things.
Oh, no, definitely not. I don't think they would at all.
But that just goes to what you were saying.
There's, that there are a lot of different
interpretations.
Right.
Yeah.
So tonight's guest is Samuel Hoffman. You are listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back for the interview.
I wanna know. The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit. May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
I want to thank our first responders in Shasta and Tehama County. The lives you save and the property you protect help us enjoy our wonderful Northern California outdoors. This is Jeff Avery, State Farm Insurance Agent, and I want to thank you again for all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
The world's largest dinosaurs are coming to Turtle Bay Exploration Park May 5th through September 9th. You can explore the amazing biology of supersized dinos in this epic new exhibition, great for all ages. The world's largest dinosaurs is organized by the American Museum of Natural History and presented by Dennis and Cheryl Bambauer, with major support from U.S. Bank and Shasta Regional Medical Center. The world's largest dinosaurs is included with park admission and always free for members. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
With the changing of seasons here in Northern California, it may be time for a change for you and your family. And Palomar Builders, your ultimate home, invites you to see Salt Creek Heights. Salt Creek Heights is located on the west side of Reading along Eureka Way, just minutes from the heart of downtown Reading. The new luxury homes from Palomar Builders are truly that. And prices start at just $4,038. Salt Creek Heights is 273 acres of land that supports residential units to a variety of single-family home sites. When you walk into a home in Salt Creek Heights, you'll see the exceptional quality and beauty that Palomar Builders builds into every home. Many lots have mountain and open space views, and all homes come with an entry-level solar system. As they say, seeing is believing. Make plans to see the model home. For more information, contact Tom Papik of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 941-9534. To find Salt Creek Heights, take Eureka Way to 299 West and North on Buenaventura Boulevard. Palomar Builders, building your memories.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're welcoming back a guest that we've had on before, Samuel Hoffman, to talk about Nibiru. Samuel, are you there with us?
I sure am. How are you today?
Not bad. How have you been?
Oh, all right. It's been a little stormy and, you know, nice and rainy up here in Montana. We've had a little bit of local flooding.
Well,
more rain and snow than we're used to.
It's definitely something we wish we had more of down here.
Yeah.
Well, the alternative can be a bad thing, too. You know, I mean, look all over what's going on all over Europe and Asia. And,
oh, yeah, and Southern California after those fires, you know, then
yeah,
we get
Brazil,
all that rain.
Yeah, et cetera. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Fires down there.
So, you know, for our new listeners, maybe we can remind them a little bit about who you are and what you do. So how did you, and we'll skim through it. Last time this was kind of our whole show, but you know, how did you get started with Nibiru and trying to figure out what was going on there?
Well, when I was 17 years old in a private college prep high school, I wrote a chemistry term paper, and I basically, as kind of a joke, took on Einstein's equations and things like this. And from my understanding of subatomic chemistry and everything, I didn't agree with, you know, the gravity well and all this sort of stuff. And it always bugged me, according to what I understood with shell structure and weight value and atomic weight value and everything. So I wrote this paper saying, because I had read Velikovsky's book had come out in the 70s, and this was about 75, 76, 77, 78 that I was, you know, checking into all this stuff. And I wrote this paper saying that I believe because of this variation at the orbit way out in by Neptune and all that, there's these variations in orbits. They were talking about Planet X, and this was common knowledge back in the mid-70s. So I wrote this paper stating that I believed there had to be another attached solar system because the atomic weight value just didn't match according to my estimations of the planet weight value and the fact that Jupiter and Saturn are these massive, larger planets, and they're way, way out, and that didn't agree with subatomic chemistry in my mind. So I wrote the paper saying that we had to have two suns and two sets of multiple groups of planets, and I laid out my paper and turned it in, and it basically ended up getting the notice of the government a short period of time later, and where I was offered a job, and then I went there, and it was for the Farseeing Project, and folks can look that up. That's where you remote view and things like this, and they were recruiting people with high chemistry and physics skills and high IQs, et cetera. That's the short of that. And then many years later, in 2009-ish, early 10, I saw a planetary pass, and I knew that they had to be here because we had been waiting for them, and the discussion was back in the 70s that it was going to be 50 years till it got here, et cetera. And that, of course, was, you know, the 60s and 50s talking with the extension of the way science gets around. And anyway, long story short, I end up, once I saw first planetary pass up here in Montana at 5,000 feet, I started being on Facebook and telling everybody because my non-disclosure agreement ended in 2010. And so I started speaking right about that, telling everybody that, you know, the planetary system was in fact here because I had seen it by eye. Otherwise, I would have never, you know, believed half of the stuff that's on the Internet currently. And there's so much misinformation you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, so to help our listeners get a concept of what we're talking about, basically, and this part right here is mainstream science, that most stars in our galaxy are actually binary stars, so they're two stars that orbit one another. And so,
right, 83.3% on average, yes.
Right, and so what you're saying is that our star, Sol, is a binary star, and there is another star that orbits with our star with its own solar system.
Correct, and every 3,654 years they join, probably from a magnetic static upload, like a capacitor that loads and unloads, et cetera, and they attract to each other and then separate. Everything works in an opening and closing all the way down to string theory and everything. Everything has an ebb and flow and ebb and flow. It's sort of like the solar system breathes. Everything breathes. Everything is connected to each other electrically. Now, Einstein and Newton believe that we are a gravitational solar system, and we're not. We're an electrical solar system, and then gravitational properties fall in play therein. But there's an overall larger thing at work here, a larger thing at play than common science understands still to this day.
And so I guess the questions that arise from this are, if it's a solar system, how many planets are we talking? And how close to our solar system is it getting, you know?
They have been, well, let's start out with, there's eight major known planets, and then there's a number of smaller orbiting bodies, asteroids and moons and everything. And if you were to take into account the actual overall count, there's many, many other bodies that are not even being listed here because they're also part of a larger solar system because this is an immense, immense chemistry equation. And then we have to take into account Hercubus, which is the electron cluster gas giant behind the two suns, which is so massive it fills up half the solar system. Now, literally, this July, up July 15th or so, all the planets are in our normal planets in our solar system are going to be on one side of the solar system. And then literally the other half of the solar system is empty according to what they're showing on these model diagrams. But in all actuality, it's all the other planets absorbing the occupied area in a suppressed orbit. And that's why Venus is so bright for the last 10 years is because we can see it because it's closer than it actually used to be. And everybody just automatically assumes that they're where they always are. And no, they're not. Everything is changing. The rules have changed. Atomic decay has changed. Electrical particles, motion has changed. Anyway, the planets have been here literally since the onset of 2010, where the two solar systems started joining. Now, it's our smaller solar system that I believe entered the larger solar system, but, I mean, it's probably a simultaneous thing. And they're commingling, and they came up from underneath Earth and then have slowly, and we were getting pictures early on in most of our sightings at Montana Skywatchers on Facebook from the Antarctica, from Neumeier Station and everything else for years. And nobody even questioned why all of a sudden it was lit in Antarctica when it wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be completely, absolutely dark, and for like 5 years it was daylight. It shouldn't have been. And this is when we got most of our sightings. And now, most people didn't believe the sightings because everyone was looking for these tiny little dots. And in actuality, they were coming on close passes where we'd have entire, you know, side-seeing crescent illuminations where you're like holding a basketball in front of your hand all the way to sky pillars. And most people don't see them currently because they're looking for small little tiny dots of this color or that color. And when they get in proximity to us and fill the sky, they're all, of course, mostly blue because we see everything through the blue water spectrum through our atmosphere. But when the planets get close, they turn a much varied color from what they look like out in space. Now, most of the time, they are between us and the sun, and we can't see them because we're seeing the dark sides of these planets. But they have been here roughly since 2011, 2012, have passed in four different cycles where we've had close numerous passes year after year. And currently we have Nepesity and Attu and Attu's white moon extremely close to Earth right now. And a lot of people are seeing these sightings, and they're getting the green skies and these massive green storms and then these purple lightning storms, and then there's this big white thing, and there's asteroids passing close by that are horrendously huge, and they're daily. And NASA, of course, is just telling everybody it's this, that, or the other thing, and it's going by once. And that's not what's going on. There's a lot of real close proximity planets that are right here, and they're making daily planets. Now, they don't crash into each other. Because we live in an electrical universe, these are like protons, and they electrically push each other away. It's only the negative, smaller bodies at a different hardcore angle that can actually strike into Earth, such as an asteroid or comet, depending on, you know, the charge value.
But they are tied to their star somehow.
Objects will push each other away from each other like two separate magnets.
But they are tied to their star somehow.
Right, and they're tied, and they're in their spiral rotation, sort of like, because we don't orbit. We follow the star like it's the magnet, and we're a bunch of pieces that look like steel cans or whatever you want to call it that follow in a tail behind it, and we spiral through space sideways. We don't look at it on the plane like they lay it out on a dinner plate and all the planets are on the same ecliptic plane. No, that's not how it works. They all rotate in spiral plane catch up, like when you pull a sock out of the dryer, you get static cling and you get other socks that come along with it. And that's how the main star pulls all of us, because we're electrically connected to this major compound in space. We're not just rocks floating willy-nilly in space. We're an actual chemistry equation that is set in a level of stability. It's been existing for 4.8 some odd billion years that we know of the Earth's formation alone. And beyond that, I'm sure there's some semblance of a prior event that formed that compound, which this binary solar system is.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our first commercial break. I think we did a pretty good job of doing our rundown there. Thank you, Samuel. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what's new since we talked last time. And maybe you can enlighten us to the new situation with Nibiru and its solar system here on Radio Wasteland with Samuel Hoffman.
Believe. just a very hard-working person, and he listens to his people.
David Kehoe is one of the most honest public servants that I have ever seen.
As a third-generation U.S. Army veteran, I support Supervisor David Kehoe for re-election because of his unfailing support of our veterans.
The best quality about Dave is that he is so approachable.
You just couldn't ask for a better supervisor than him.
I'm David Kehoe, candidate for Supervisor, District 1. I'm firmly committed to a safer community by increasing jail beds and supporting law enforcement. As your supervisor, I have a record of voting for jobs and economic development to help increase revenue for public safety. I will always strive to improve the safety and quality of life for the people of Shasta County. I welcome your support and vote on June 5th.
Paid for by Kehoe for Shasta County Supervisor 2018.
The Democrats and their liberal allies are spending millions of dollars on fake news ads attacking Republican John Cox. Why? Because in the upcoming June election, only the top two finishers advance to the November runoff. The Democrats don't want Republicans to vote. That way, two Democrats move forward to November, leaving Republicans shut out again. And that's no choice at all. The Democrat one-party rule in Sacramento is bad enough, but one-party elections? Well, that's un-American. But we can do something about it. In fact, President Trump already has, personally endorsing John Cox for governor and urging all Republicans to unite behind the only Republican with a chance to finish in the top two and beat the Jerry Brown Democrats. Endorsed by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, John Cox will support President Trump, repeal the gas tax, build the wall, and end the sanctuary state. Mail in your ballot today for Republican businessman John Cox for governor.
Paid for by John Cox for governor 2018.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Samuel Hoffman. We're talking about Nibiru, not the planet, not the star, but the solar system that runs in conjunction with our own. Some sort of chemistry entanglement. So, you know, Samuel, what is different now than when we talked last? What do we know now that we didn't know last time?
Well, we're headed back closer toward Nibiru, and I truly believe that any day now, mid-June-ish July, we should be literally right next to her, because we've been following in the opposite direction underneath the rest of them, and Uri has passed by. And Attu has come in at the turn of the year. Now, last time we did a show was literally a year ago to almost this week.
Mm-hmm.
And Attu and Attu's moon have come in so close that Attu's moon has actually come within a really great close distance, you know, maybe one or two or three LUs within ours. And it's so big, but we call it a moon because we've seen it close up, and it's got many numerous craters, and it's therefore it's most likely a dead body, or a negative charged neutron. And it has seriously affected our tides, and we've seen these drawn-out tides where all of a sudden the fishermen are staring at a mile away where they've never, ever seen it before in their lives. And that started in January and February and March. And then as of April, it started on the other side of the planet, moreover, in close passes because they run in cycles. And they were having this excruciating extreme weather and lightning and massive flooding. And they received that recently in the desert region in Jerusalem and everything. They had mass flash flooding and everything else. And they've never, ever seen this, of course, and amounts of rain that no one has ever recorded before. And that's because it has to do with atmospheric close pass-by, dragging up our atmosphere and collecting it up and pulling it up. And then when it pulls away from us, it drops everything that it's acquired through a thread attachment because they pull at each other. And there is a certain amount of ion transfer between these large bodies, and that's where we see the space clouds and all this other stuff. And that even Suspicious Observer discusses space clouds and space water and all of this. And this is an interaction electrically between the planets, and they discharge off each other. We've seen lots of that within the last even week on the East Coast, flooding and everything that everybody's been suffering over there. And they've had these, what the science is now calling the shelf cloud, which is an invention since the planets have gotten here. And those are the base clouds of these planets where they buffer in. Their atmosphere pushes against our atmosphere, and they have this thread attachment between them, and they cause these extreme storms. And now in Texas, all the way up through the East Coast, they've been, and New York City went dark the other day as this planet crossed over the top of everybody. And, of course, you know, no one understands it because it's so massive. They think it's just a storm. But we've got side pictures. And that's what Montana Skywatcher does is we, number two and number one, we get comparative pictures from around the world. And when you see one event in Hong Kong and you see it in England at the same time, well, then it's not a cloud. It's an actual body passing through. And we have, over the last 8 years, learned what the base clouds all look like. And they have individual type behaviors for each planet, and they have different color variations, and we've matched all these sightings and collected up hundreds of thousands of actual sightings. And the problem is that no one's really getting this in the mainstream media because it's all being covered up. Facebook and everybody is all trying this, you know, what they call junk news or fake news program now to shut people like myself and the other Nibiru group, sky watchers and researchers, whatever you want to call them, citizen scientists, have all been stifled because a lot of people are still laughing at us, and yet we've got credible, absolute, time-proven science showing all of these planets up close and on the way in and then over the top of us and then back out over the last 8 years. So, but what's recently happening is Nepesity is coming in. She's a rain bomb, just like last year they got Canada. And there's also been some new sightings of the Texas Cube. And if you folks out there don't know what the Texas Cube is, go to YouTube, look up Texas Cube. And then the Empire Orb, which is another space station that came in through the Norway Spiral back in 2009. There are bodies and beings and other space creatures that are involved with this solar system. We are not alone, totally not alone. There's thousands and thousands of races nearby. And people have to really get on board with this because this is time-proven information, and we're not guessing, and we're not making this up, and you know, and we're not collecting a bunch of subscription fees to hype stuff out. But in the last 3 weeks, there has been so many sightings of so many ships, they're not hiding anymore. And if you look up in the sky and you see a very large square cloud, it's the Texas Cube. And we have had hundreds of sightings within the last week, week and a half. It's been unbelievable.
What is the purpose of covering up?
Well, there's a lot of people. I'm sure you've run into a different variations of people through your radio work where certain people can handle it. Certain people get mad at you. Certain people get crazy and very scared. Certain religious people go and crawl into their Bible even worse and then start accusations and the demons and this and that. And the other thing, I mean, there's a lot of nice Christian religious folks out there, but then there's your people that get scared and very superstitious. And then there's the people that would quit their jobs and they would go up and head up the mountains and we'd have chaos. And so maybe that's why they don't do it.
So do you think our government knows and is aware?
Oh, I'm totally sure they do. They entered a deal with the alien races and all the way back in Ike's administration back in 47. And I know I was told all sorts of information when I was with the government. I was not allowed to discuss it back until after my 30-year non-disclosure agreement. And we entered into a terrible, terrible bargain with the alien races for technology. And they're fully in cahoots to each other. Now, the treaty was broken for some period of time, but then right prior to the planets coming back again, they, I'm sure, negotiated for better treaty output, and this is where a lot of the commodities are now being picked up prior to the changes of the coming tectonic plates. And as you know, that Hawaii is bubbling all over, and our weather's not like it's supposed to be anymore, and we haven't seen true north in about 5 years, and the sun's coming up in a funny place, and all the stars have changed, and then all these undeniable facts. And if you look straight up in the sky and you see this dark, dark purple thing over the top of you where the rest of the sky is light blue, you can't argue with it. But we've proven this empirically that these planets are here and they're doing close passes to Earth. And we're coming up on the culmination of our fourth or fifth cycle now, and there's some pretty crazy stuff happening. And we don't even know how long they're going to be here for. I mean, they could be doing this to our Earth over and over for the next 100 years. I don't know. We don't know how long they're together. And the tectonic plates are moving, and Yellowstone is rumbling, and Hawaii is going off, and there's brand new volcanoes every day, everywhere. Popocatépetl, whatever how you pronounce that, is booming again. She's burping steam again. And the close planetary passes of Vatu's moon have been affecting our tides and our rivers. Waters are disappearing. The Mississippi was dry for a good portion of middle of last year. And nobody knew why the middle of the Mississippi was empty. It's because the water effects and everything are being pulled. And there's cracks in the ground forming everywhere and sinkholes. And it's the tug of these planets on each other. You get cracks, and all of a sudden your water disappears down those cracks. And it sinks into stuff. And everything's breaking up. And we had the Yakima crack and the Mexico crack. And now there's cracks in South Carolina, North Carolina happening. All sorts of stuff happening.
So, we only got about 3 minutes till the commercial break, but let's start this topic at least. And that is, is there's life on some of these planets?
Correct.
And
we are basically the backwater factory that produces commodities for this larger, older civilizations, plural. And they basically don't want us to know that we are doing what we're doing, and we're short-lived versions of them.
So we're like the sweatshop of the solar system.
Yeah, you've seen Star Wars, you know about the Clone Wars. Well, yeah. We're basically people that they don't deal well with coming down on our gravitational, there's that word I hate to use, on our planet, and they don't deal well doing the work, so they have bio-tools, which is what we are. We're self-replicating bio-tools.
But they look like us.
Every time they come back and pick up the supplies and the commodities that are laid out for them ahead of time by this faction or that faction trying to gain favor, then they pick up what they want, and then we get wiped out up to a point, the culling of the herd, which is part of the process because Earth has to break up to reform the new sets of minerals and gold and oil and all of this by tectonic breakup and transfer of energy to recreate all of the chemistry. And then in 4,000 years, they come back and pick it all up again.
All right. Well, you're listening to...
Time after time after time after time.
All right. We're coming up on our commercial break. You're listening to Samuel Hoffman here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Mark out the points. Build the fire. Assemble different drummers. Light up the fire. Put on your masks and animal skins. Illumination, illumination. Listen to the drums. Between each beat of the drum. Oh, beloved mother. Oh,
Mary's Pizza Shack in downtown Reading invites you to the ultimate beer experience, the Tap Shack. The North State's first self-service beer wall featuring 18 of the finest craft beers on tap. Simply insert your Tap Shack card in the wall and make your selection. Not sure what to select? Well, that's okay. You can sample as little as 1 ounce and fill it up when you find your favorite. And our trained staff will be there to answer any questions you might have about our fine line of craft beers. Join the Pour Your Own Revolution and visit the Tap Shack at Mary's Pizza Shack in downtown Reading.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Samuel Hoffman. We're talking about Nibiru. So we were talking before that they're actually life on those planets, and right. And you're basically saying that they look just like us. So,
well,
and,
I haven't actually met them, but I have met three of the other races that are out running around. And from what I'm told, that we very much, you know, we're the combination of like 12 different races mixed into the local monkey, and then over time we've been generated up to what we are. Now, I don't believe that we're the first civilization to achieve this level. I think there's been numerous ones, including prior to Atlantis. And you know, there's a lot of room between 65 million years ago when the dinosaurs supposedly vanished off this planet. And that's a lot of time for a lot of cycles. And if you take out your calculator and you divide 4,000 by 65 million, there's a lot of cycles in between there. Where the planets, of course, will affect each other, and you know, pole shift and ice age and this and that and the other thing.
Right. Who's to say we're their first attempt? Who's to say we're their first attempt?
Right. Yeah, we're not. You know, I'm sure that I'm sure that we were, numerous. And then, of course, you go back into the discussion of the giants in the Bible, and that was 35,000 years ago. And that boils down to where they've even discovered certain radioactive regions that have seemed to have been nuked way off in the distant past, and that actually meets about that same timeline. And then you go back to the Sumerians 4,000 years ago at the last cycle, and how their climate changed, and suddenly they were no longer able to support their life the way they did, And if you go back two cycles, and then to the Chinese, they talk about the dragon. And that's those asteroids that are coming across now that they're passing daily. And we call it the object cluster group. And now, you know, if you want some of that information, you can go to YouTube and look up Sam Hoffman, H-O-F-M-A-N, one F instead of two, on YouTube. And I've got a whole bunch of, about a year and a half's worth of background information that you might be able to glean some stuff off of, or come to Montana Skywatcher Facebook site too. And then we can fill you in on more of that. But, and I'm kind of losing my train of thought here, but yeah, there's a society up there and their tech level is so much more advanced than ours. There's no way that we can argue with the fact of ownership. I mean, they've owned us, they will own us. And, you know, we're these little mice down here going squeak, squeak, be nice to me. Can I have some cheese, please?
But what do we do about it?
Well, we are supposed to grow out of it, and there is a notion, a mandate to the demigods, as we will refer to them as, that we are supposed to up and evolve out, because we are sentient beings, and that wasn't planned as far as I've been led to understand. So some of us who will gain the notice of the demigods will be allowed to ascend out, and we have to work on that by getting rid of the anger and the hatred and work more on love and stuff like that, because when you're in the presence of an alien, it's very uncomfortable for them to be around somebody. It's like drunk cousin Earl drops by at midnight at your house and wants to party. They don't want to tolerate us, period. And we have to be tolerable before they're going to invite us into their living area. And for because we're just fine right where we're at, you know, unless we earn it. But there is a mandate for some of us to be able to evolve out.
So the gods or the aliens that are most commonly associated with Nibiru are the Anunnaki, and
right,
their
and that,
story.
Of course, is a human term, and that could be any new number of factions.
So, so does that story fit this narrative?
Everything fits. That's the reason that we started searching all this stuff out, because there were so many conclusive clues that led you to. The names of the planets all matched, and then we watched them come in one after another, and everything fit. And this was, time proven for a while there. For the first 2 years, we called it the purple planet or the white striped planet or the dark blue, which we assumed was Nibiru, because Nibiru is not a red planet. The red major red planet is the red gas giant Hercubus, which is the central electron cluster that holds the two stars. It's a massive, massive body. It's a gas giant, and it holds both the stars together in the binary, which is what makes us a compound. We're just this multiple spinning thing, just like an atom in most atom models. But the civilization there has been in existence for a very long time. They use a good deal of gold and some of our other commodities in their technology, and their technology is vast. And I've got to see a little bit of it, and I still don't completely comprehend a lot of it, but I understand some of the theories behind it.
Okay, I'm concerned. I just have to ask, where, again, are we in the timeline before we wind up getting cold, so to speak?
I don't know if they're going to tell people. I don't foresee a government group saying, "Yoo-hoo, by the way."
Well, last time was 4,000 years ago, and it happens every 4,000 years. That's just,
3,600.
Yeah.
If you look back, that's the end of the Mycenaean period, beginning of the Bronze Age. It literally is going to be where the people themselves start seeing these bodies in the sky so heavily. And we've been doing that for many years, and we've been trying to pass it on. And there's another good one. I have a video that's called Understanding the Skies by Samuel Hoffman, Edition 1, and that is on YouTube also. And that'll teach you how to see the base clouds of these planets. And they're so big, you're not looking for the little stuff. And it's these sky fillers when they do a close pass. And on my site, on the YouTube site, there's other videos that'll teach you how to see the planets. But all you got to do is basically look up and look for the dark bodies and the shadowing and the cutoffs of the sun. We're usually seeing the dark sides back of them, and you see all these weird cutoffs on the sun, and there's a piece missing, and there's this reddish flare and weird-looking stuff. And that's a planet cutting off the light. And we've had a lot of cloudy gray days and real weird weather stuff where everything looks really milky and funny, and that's because there's a planet cutting off the overall light.
Is there going to come a point where for every person on the planet, it is just undeniable what we're looking at.
That depends on if we get a full pass where they actually leave and we can see the facial illumination as they go by. And we've seen a lot of that, but each one of these planets also has an atmosphere as well. And a lot of the time, they're wrapped up in a lot of clouds. And only because we've had so many reports over the years did we learn what these cloud bases look like. And that, of course, is also taught on my YouTube thing on, I think it's July 15th of last year.
Yeah, I've watched quite a few of the videos. They're definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, and it's not something you can teach overnight, but you have to think sky filler because they're there, they're huge, they're dark, and you look and they're right over here at the horizon, it's light blue, but you look straight up and it's so dark and weird and puffy and everything. And half the times, if you sit out there long enough, you can see land masses. They come by that close. Uh-oh. We've got pictures of land masses. We've got pictures of grid failures where they were attempting to hide it using some sort of invisible, God only knows what, in the first few years. There's so much happened over the years, it's almost impossible to tell everybody everything that's been going on because we've got 8 years of sighting, and this has been every day. And everybody, not everybody, a darn good huge portion of my 10,000 members on my two sites alone, I do other sites as well, but a good portion of these people absolutely see these planets, and they've all been taught how to continue see them every day.
Well, that's a good point for us here. We're coming up on the end of the interview here, but I want to give you a chance to tell our audience where they can find out more about you and join your groups.
Okay, well, it's Facebook, Montana Sky Watcher, 1 and 2. 2 is the open site, and when people turn out to be great reporters, I'll usually hook them up with 1. And or my YouTube page, Samuel Hoffman, or Sam Hoffman, Hoffman. And there's plenty of my videos out there where you can grab onto something and connect to me. And once you, I just about let everybody in on the Facebook site. And we have limitations where we limit to current information and pictures from your area, and we try not to do unproven materials. We try to stick to scientific fact with multiple reporting sites before we call. I mean, we get like 4 or 5 sightings before we call that this is what's happening. Oh, yes, this new planet is here and it's doing this. And we get multiple sightings from around the world, from Hong Kong, Malaysia, Australia, South Africa, America, of course, Great Britain, France, Canada. I've got friends in Sweden, Germany. So we get sightings and reports every day, and it's the best place. And we weeded through the bull. We're not falling into the media gossip because we don't need it, because we've done enough sightings that we know what's going on. And there isn't anybody out there, and I'd love to find someone who knows more about this than I do, because I'd like to learn more. But we've not found anyone that has better information than Montana Sky Watcher.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the show again. I really enjoy having you on. We'll have to do it again.
Wonderful. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. And I'm doing this to get the word out, because this is proven. This is happening.
All right, you've been listening to Samuel Hoffman here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Reading. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.